So, welcome to everybody. Good morning. How you doing? Hello, family. How you doing? Hello, family. How you doing? Hello. I think everybody is doing well. All right. So, as you can see, the title of our message today is what? Justified by Christ alone. And I believe that everybody knows, at least I would say, everybody knows that this message, justified by Christ alone, have been preached in the wake of 1888, something like that. And because it was rejected by the church, Jesus, who was getting ready to come to get us to go to heaven, was prevented from coming. Why? Because the church did not believe. Today, I'm back with that message. Hopefully, everybody will get something out of it. We will not, please, do not slumber, do not sleep. There will be something for you. Even the little ones, I hope. But before I do so, before I deliver the message, shall we pray? Dear Father, one more time, your children bow down before you because you alone deserve to be worshipped. Nobody else. Satan has tried his best, but he did not succeed. But you deserve to be worshipped, and I will do it. We will do it. And I hope you will grant us access to heaven, where the redeemed of all ages, along with the holy angels, we will have to worship you. We will worship you. This time, even more in spirit and in truth. Bless us all, forgive our sins, bestow upon your church, your Holy Spirit, open our eyes to see the truth and understand what in it. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. All right. So, I start with that. This is the background for the message. It is based on a subject that if the pioneers understood it and accepted it, according to Sister White, we would already be in heaven. So because I want us to be in heaven as soon as we can, as soon as possible, I have allowed the Holy Spirit to impress upon my mind to deliver this message. The second reason for this message is that as I was deeply concerned about my eternal life a few weeks ago, the Holy Spirit drew my attention to a book that I already read part of, where he reminded me that I would find what I needed in it. I don't know if any of you have ever been concerned about your eternal life. Almost every day I am concerned about my eternal life. I'm not already saved. Let me see the hand of those who are already saved. No? No? Okay, that's what I thought. As I was reading, I could not believe my eyes. So I'm gonna share with you my findings. In truth, this message and others coming after talk about justification by faith. So let's go into it. I have three theses. The first one, four, I'm sorry. The first one, and I will develop them. The first one, does what is right because he is Christian, never to become Christian. Let me say it again. A Christian does what is right because he's a Christian. Because he is a Christian. Never to become a Christian. Second one, Christianism and salvation are not founded on what we do, but on the one we know. Let me say it again. Christianism and salvation are not founded on what we do, but on the one, capital O, we know. Third, to do good while doing no evil is not to do good. To do good while doing no evil is not to do good. To be good while doing no evil is not to be good. Righteousness will make you a moral being, but morality will not make you righteous. Righteousness will make you a moral being, but morality will not make you righteous. So we will dig into those theses as we will develop our message for today. Number one, a Christian does what is right because he is a Christian. Never to become a Christian. And I will have many questions to ask you. We want to have interactions. That means I want you please to answer my questions. So which one comes first? Are you a Christian first? Or you do right things first? I didn't hear that. Doing what right comes first. That's what you said? Okay, anybody else? You've got to be a Christian first. All right. Being a Christian or doing what is right. So which one comes first? And one brother said doing what is right first comes before being a Christian. Okay. We will find out. Let me ask you a question. What's your definition of a Christian? Did you read it somewhere? Okay. You got me, okay. Okay. All right. Here are some answers given by some church members to Pastor Maurice L. Vinden, the author of 95 Theses on Justification by Faith. You know that it is placarded. Is it correct? The 95 Theses on the wall on the doors of the church in Wittenberg. Who? Okay, but this man is talking about what Martin Luther was saying. The first thing. A Christian is someone who lives according to the golden rule. Is that okay? Do you accept that definition of a Christian? A Christian is someone who lives according to the golden rule. What is the golden rule? Okay. Are you a Christian because you live according to the golden rule? I want you to think. Who said yes? All right, let's go. We will find out, my sister. The second question is, okay. A Christian is honest. Is a Christian honest? Are you honest because you are a Christian or you are a Christian and then you are honest? Okay, you are a Christian first and then you learn to be honest. But you're not honest and then you become a Christian. Okay. All right. Thank you. Let's keep going. A Christian is a caring and loving person. A Christian is a caring and loving person. Yes. Okay. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever met somebody who is not a Christian, but who is caring and loving? Okay, so why did you say that a Christian is a caring and loving person? All right, I love that. Yes, my sister? It was not you? Okay, all right. A Christian entertains good rapport or relationship with his neighbor. Do you expect a Christian to entertain good relationship with his neighbor? Okay. Now, interestingly, what word you don't find in the answers? Have you noticed that all the answers have one common point? What is it? They are all based on behavior. While the name of Christ is remarkably absent. When John List asked sweet passersby, the same question, the usual answers go like this. A Christian does this and does that. A Christian does not do this. A Christian does not do that. We base our definition of a Christian on behavior, while it should be the other way around. It is so rare to hear the following answer. That's why I ask you if you cheated. A Christian is a person who knows and loves Christ, or even who follows Christ. Let me ask a question. When the first time was the Church of God, some members of the church called Christians? Antioch. All right. What is Christianism? Is it founded on behavior? Because we've been saying a Christian is on behavior. But my question to you, Christianism, is it founded on behavior? No. So please, get rid of all your definition of a Christian that is founded on behavior. It says, is it about relationship before everything? Aha. Relationship. Don't read my thing. Don't cheat. Relation is the essential element of the experience of salvation by faith in Christ. If I need a job, I go to Cornell University. I know I have two persons over there. I said, I have my sister over there. I say, I have my brother over there. And okay. These people are good people. If they recommend you, you can have the job. Why are you laughing, my sister? Do you think Jesus will take to heaven those who are not in connection with him? Will Jesus take to heaven anybody who is not familiar with him? Who has not familiarized himself with God? Christianism is to know Christ. The behavior that differentiates between a Christian and a non-Christian is a result of the connections of faith with Christ. It is never the cause. We will see. Okay, now let's go. Can this be a little bit? Let me see. We lose some letters. Can you fix it for me? It's good. You see this? Okay. An apple tree produces apples not to become an apple, or to become an apple tree, but because it is already a tree. Jesus said in Matthew 17, verse 17 and 18. Now, for those who believe that you need to act a certain way to be Christians, I want to bring this illustration. If you have an apple tree, it is not becoming an apple tree because it produces apples or fruits, but because it is already an apple tree. You are a Christian, and by being a Christian, you produce actions. You see what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. You see, what comes first? Good tree. And then what you have next? Like corrupt trees bringeth forth what? Okay. So evil fruit does not come before the corrupt tree. Now, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. So those who are bad, and they will produce bad fruit. Are you with me? In my country of origin, Haiti, we have mangoes. I'm telling you. Good mangoes. But there are some mangoes that are so sour and full of worms, you cannot even eat them. Now, is it because the tree is good or bad? Is the tree produces good? If it's a good tree, it will produce good fruit. If it's a bad, a corrupt tree, it will produce evil fruit. Jesus is speaking. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. I need you to highlight that if you have a good seed, you may be sure you will have good fruit. Likewise, if you already have a bad, sour seed, you are sure you will have sour apples. My daughter loves green apples. I don't. And you know why? Don't you know why I don't love green apples? They are almost always sour. I don't like sour apples. The only sour thing that I like is what? Lemon or lime. That's it. Now, however righteous your life may be, no matter how many good actions you accomplished, no matter how religious you may appear, you are not a true Christian. Not until you personally and intimately know Jesus Christ. Yes, Mama. Relationships You're talking about religion and relationship. Now, your relationship should be established between you and God first. And then you will be a religious person. You cannot be religious without Christ. You see what I'm saying? All right. Good actions will never make you a Christian, but only a person of good morality. How many times have we heard people say, am I not going to be saved? I am a good person. I do good. I go to church. I was talking to someone someday, and I was talking about going to church with me, and she told me, I go to church on Sundays. I said, okay. And she said, I go to church now and then, once a month. Is it not enough? Now, let me ask a question. Coming to church, will that save you? No. Not coming to church, will that cause you to lose your eternal life? Okay, let's keep going. The primitive members of the church focused their attention on the Lord Jesus Christ to the point that he was the subject of their thoughts and conversations. Okay? Remember, when you go to Genesis chapter 6, what does the Lord say about people back in the days, in the time of Noah? Their thoughts were continually what? Evil. The flip side of it, we should be thinking continually about Christ. Okay. And at that time, Christ has done this. This is the way. Because church members were talking constantly about Christ. Constantly. Christ has done this. Christ has done that. Finally, someone had the idea to call them what? Christians. Now, my question to you. What do you spend the most of your time thinking about, talking about, doing? Let me say it again. What do you spend most of the time thinking about, doing, or talking about, doing, and what? Thinking about. What would you want people to call you when you think about what you've been thinking about, talking about, or doing? They call them Christians because of what? They were continually talking about Christ. Would they call you gossipers? Would they call you liars? Would they call you adulterers? Whatever you spend your time thinking of or talking about or doing is what you will be called. Good actions will never make you a Christian, but only, okay. Now, second one, Christianism and salvation are not founded on what we do, but on the one we know. This is something you probably heard of. This man, Abraham Lincoln, he was the president of America, and he said to his aides, I don't want anybody to bother me. From time to time, he does that. And he closes the door behind him. And the soldiers were standing, or the guards were standing in front of the doors, or of the door, to prevent anybody getting there. One day, the soldiers or the guards saw someone running, opened the door, and got in, threw himself onto the president. The guards did not do anything. Do you know why? Why? Eh? The president did not want to be disturbed. But that body came running in the hallway, opened the door, and jumped onto the president, and nobody said anything. Why? Don't say anything. He was his child. His name was Todd Lincoln. She said it. So, because of what? Because of his connections with the president. If we have connections with God, there's nobody can prevent us from talking to him. Nobody will say that we are not Christians. Nobody will say that we are not religious, because we talk always about, that's exactly what I said, that my wife, my sister, and my daughter, they are the luckiest people in the world. They work in their work, they allow them to preach the gospel however they want to do it. They preach. They pass out books. They read the Bible with people. This is the most important job that you can. You're not preaching here. You're not preaching any crusade, but in your job you can do that. All right. So, do you believe that your connections with Christ make all the difference in your spiritual life? Do you believe that the Christian character is based on the person that you know? Or do you believe your spiritual life is based on your actions? Is your spiritual life based on your actions? It cannot be on your actions. Cannot be on your actions. Do you know Christ? This is my first question. Knowing Jesus is the foundation of Christian life. Knowing Jesus is knowing the way of eternal life, of the eternal life. John 17 verse 3 says what? And this is eternal life. What is it? That ye may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. There is no eternal life if you know God alone. There is no eternal life if you know Jesus alone. Like Muslim people, they talk about God. They say, Allah, Allah is God. Okay, it's God. Okay, but you cannot be saved without Jesus Christ. And you need to know them. How to know them? You're not praying. You're not studying the Bible. You're not preaching. You're not doing anything. You call yourself Christian. And the first thing they tell you, I am saved. We are not saved by our actions. 3, to do good while doing no evil is not doing good. What does that mean? To be good while doing no evil is not being good. Because you're hungry, I give you food. Would you call me a good Christian? Am I a good Christian because I feed you, my sister? Am I a good Christian because I visit you in the hospital, in prison? Am I a good Christian because I'm praying with you? Do you know that I can be giving you food and inside of me, there's all sort of things. We need not to look at the external actions of people to say that they are good Christians. Do not say, oh, Brother Pierre, every Saturday he dressed up nicely, beautiful suits, beautiful shoes. He has to be a Christian. No, 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 no. You may deceive yourself. Satan was the most glorious being in heaven. Don't look at the appearance of persons, of anybody, to say they are good Christians. Now, if you don't do nothing wrong, that means you do good. Am I correct? False. This is it. False. If you don't do nothing wrong, that means you do good? No. Is that true? False. There are many examples that I can take for you to see that. Nobody can give me an example of someone not doing something wrong, but still he's not doing good. Do you know that there are sins by omission? The fact that you're not doing something good may be a sin. Evidently, it does not mean that if you do evil, you do good. Or that it's good to do evil. It simply means that externally or outwardly, you can do good while you do evil internally, inwardly, in your heart. Sometimes you do good externally because of pride. You want people to say you are a good person. You want, and you go around, you say you have done this, you have done that. Jesus said you have already benefited from it. You will not have another blessing in heaven for that. Only those who truly do good, who honestly do it inwardly and outwardly. Let's go to Matthew 23, verses 27 and 28. Have you heard about Pharisees? And Pharisees and what? The Bible is talking about two. Pharisees and who? Sadducees. But the Bible is talking also about the publicans, not Republicans. Publicans, not Republicans. Okay. We will see it. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Why do you think God, Jesus, calls them hypocrites? Thank you. But the Bible answers, for you are like unto whited sepulchres. What is a whited sepulcher? You may go to that beautiful cemetery over there. Beautiful, how do you call them again? The beautiful sepulcher. And then you see the name of that person who has died. That person is inside of it. If you open the tomb, what will you see? You don't want to open it. Jesus said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Don't forget, I told you, I've been concerned about my eternal life for weeks. And then the Lord directed my attention to that book. And I said, if it's good for me, it may be good for you. Full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men. But within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Jesus is talking to the leadership of the church. Jesus is talking to the church, my sister. And Jesus said, the church is full of whom? Hypocrites. Wow. This brings us to ask an important question. Would you rather be a publican or a Pharisee? Would you rather be a publican or a Pharisee? You said publican. Publican. No Pharisee? Neither one. I like this answer. I like it. But we will see in a few minutes what camp we are on. What does it say? A publican is someone that is known for his public sins. Do you have any open sins that anybody can know? No? Okay? Think with me, please. Think with me. A publican is someone that is known for his public sins. While a Pharisee is someone known to be moral or spiritual. Which one do you want to be? Sister says, none of them. She said, publican. Okay. I got you. A publican hides not, or is not trying to hide his sins. While a Pharisee hides them to appear good. Now, questions. Jesus is talking. Think about your condition. Are you a Pharisee or you a publican? Two men went up into the temple to pray. Two men. The one, a Pharisee. The other, a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men. Ah, I am good. I am not extortioner. I am not unjust. I am not adulterer. Or even as this publican. Who is talking here? A Pharisee. Obviously, it is not you. Obviously, it is not me. But don't forget, the publican is someone that is known for his sin. The Pharisee appears to be good outwardly, and everybody is giving praise to the Pharisee, not knowing that a Pharisee is a hypocrite, a sepulcher. It continues. I fast twice in the week. Last time I was talking to Brother Jim, we were back in the room over there. I said to him, I don't have time because every night I pray with my family an hour every night. We pray in the family an hour every night. What am I doing? Am I trying to make me appear good? When I say that I come to church every Saturday on time, and then I teach the lesson, I pray, I preach, those things, is it to show that I am a good person, a Christian, a follower of Christ, a hypocrite? I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican standing afar off. My daughter said she'd rather be a publican. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, please be... What are you talking about? Please be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus is talking here. The publican recognizes his sins and recognizes that he needs what? A savior. But look, who do you think most church members are? Pharisees or publicans? Who do you think most church members are? I'm not talking about here. All over. Are we mostly Pharisees or publicans? I guess in the sense of the parable, most church members are Pharisees. What are you talking about, Brother Pierre? But they don't even recognize it. That's exactly what I'm talking about. We don't even recognize that we are Pharisees. Please reflect on that because it is very true. And you will see it. Jesus declared that the religion of the Pharisees was not enough to obtain the eternal life. But my daughter, listen to that. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. Your justice needs to be higher, better, stronger than the Pharisees because they're hypocrites. They walk in the street with long garments for people to greet them. And they have some kind of look down people on people like if they were better than anybody else. There are those who profess to serve God while they rely upon their own efforts to obey His law. Those are Pharisees. To form a right character and secure salvation, Pharisees. Their hearts are not moved by any deep sense of the love of Christ, Pharisees. But they seek to perform the duties of the Christian life as that which God requires of them in order to gain heaven, Pharisees. Such religion is worth nothing. You don't do what God requires you to do, you lost. You do these things to be saved, you lost. Let me say it again. You don't do what God requires you to do, you're lost. You do them in order to be saved, you are lost. The solution. What is the solution to the problem? Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by what? By faith, without the deeds of the law. We are Seventh-day Adventists keeping the Ten Commandments of God. That's correct. But do the Ten Commandments grant us eternal life? No. If we think about keeping the Ten Commandments to be saved, you are lost. If you stay home without coming, going to church to worship God, you are lost. If you go to work on Saturdays, not keeping the day that God has given us to keep, you are lost. The only thing, Jesus Christ. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. We are Seventh-day Adventists. We know the law. And we need to keep the law, not to be saved, but because it is the fruit of the tree. Because you are saved, you keep the law. You are not keeping the law to be saved. Otherwise, you would be called Pharisees. Pharisees will not inherit the kingdom. I know thy works don't appear to be good. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, church members, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew, vomit. I will spew thee out of my mouth. Who said that? Jesus. To whom is he speaking? To the church. Who is that church? Laodicea. Who is Laodicea? Seventh-day Adventist. So Jesus said to the church, he will spew us of his mouth. We need to be cold or hot. Cold is not good, but you better be cold. I know there are some people in the church who don't stand a cold. They don't love snow. So when you don't love snow, what do you want? It is a better condition to feel cold so that you can look for some warm spot than being lukewarm and believe that you are okay. You are not. The goodness that is just external displeases God. Our Heavenly Father knows that the one who openly sins is more sensitive to the good tidings of salvation than the one who has no desire of salvation. Two people. Those who openly sins, the publicans, they believe they are in a bad shape. They want salvation. They want a savior. But those who are not who are not sinning openly, Brother Pierre has to be a good brother. He preaches very well. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. One third of the angelic host got deceived by a man who believed that he was entitled to be worshipped. Let me put it that way. He was mighty, a mighty man. Beautiful, handsome. Okay? Our Heavenly Father knows that the one who openly sins is more sensitive to the good tidings of salvation than the one who has no desire of salvation. Those who succeed to be good externally by their own strength do not feel the need of a Savior. And given that they do not feel the need, they do not come to Jesus to receive the salvation that he wants to give them. It is possible to fill our places of worship of strong personalities like me, able to behave according to the requirements of the church. But the behavior these men and women are so proud of becomes a barrier that prevents them from entertaining personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Watch out, church members. If we truly believe it, if we truly accept it, the thesis that states that external righteousness is not just without value in the eyes of God, but that it is repugnant to him, we would cease to do good. Instead of that, we would set aside our time, our energy, our efforts to seek the Lord, that he may come live his life in us. Does that freak you out? Stop doing good. What is this brother speaking of or about on the pulpit, sacred pulpit? Stop doing good. Can somebody tell me what I'm saying when I said stop doing good? Can somebody explain me what I said? Yes, my sister. Amen. Don't try to do good to go to heaven, my sister. Yes. Thank you, my brother. So, watch out. Don't try to do good to go to heaven. To recommend you to the church, to recommend you to God, it will not take you a long distance. It will not. All right, let's see. The last one. Righteousness will make you a moral being, but morality will not make you righteous. This is to finish, okay? Evidently, God is not against morality. It is not because of their morality that he reprimands the Laodiceans in Revelation 3. He reprimands them because they attempt to substitute morality to righteousness. Now, many atheists do not commit adultery. Are they religious? Are they Christians? No, they're just moral persons. Many of them will not be bribed. Are they Christians or they're just moral persons? They're just moral persons. They don't believe in Christ. They don't believe there's a God. But they do something good. But they're not Christians. Plastic raisins. Now, everybody love plastic raisins. Am I correct? You love seeing them. They're beautiful. If you know that they're plastic raisins, you can play with them. But let's say that I put them in a salad bowl and give it to you to eat. How would you understand that? How would you appreciate that? I put it on the table. I put it with tomatoes and lettuce and everything else. And I give it to you. As you are eating, what happens? Your teeth fall upon what? Plastic raisin. Would you be happy? Okay. We have fake people like that. I am like that. I told you, I've been thinking about it, and I said, God, I don't see how I'm going to be saved. And my sister was concerned also about her eternal life. If you're not concerned, you may be something else. By the way I see events taking place around the world, I am very concerned. He will permit them. Okay. Plastic reasons. Okay. No, God is not against morality. If you have a moral life, you will avoid jail time. Am I correct? You will spare yourself all kind of annoyances. Am I correct? If you're a moral person, your professional life will be better. Am I correct? You will not lose your job because you are a little bit rude. When you're rude, you may lose your job. But if you are an ethical person, you compose yourself, you will not lose your job. You will have great reputation. Am I correct? If you're a moral person, you have a good moral life, your surroundings will not have to suffer the consequences of your immoral behavior. Morality has certain real advantages. But the reproach of God to Laodicea is based on the fact that morality will never be able to replace righteousness. And that righteousness, we have it where? In Jesus. Many among those who call themselves Christians are none then what? Moralist. Or moralist. How do you say it? However you want to say it, I don't know. Moralist. Okay, thank you. Thank you, moralist. Ellen G. White, in the book, said, notice that it is not about those who call themselves moralist. It is question of those who call themselves Christians, but who are not. How many times we just get someplace, whether to get a job or wherever you may be, and you said, I'm a Christian. And the next day, you show that you are a true Christian. You curse people, you gossip, you do everything that you can do, and you call yourself Christian. my brother Jim. Let's keep going. In the time of Jesus, people had set up a religion founded only on morality. Who are they? Only on morality. The Pharisee who would pray standing in the temple was the victim of immorality substituted to righteousness. He would recite a list of actions that, according to him, recommend to heaven. We do not recommend people to Christ because we believe they are good. We should recommend people to Christ because they're bad. Am I correct? You don't get it. We should recommend people to Christ because they are bad, not because they are good. Because our goodness or righteousness will not save us. If you are bad, I recommend you to Christ. Jesus will take you, will transform you,
will save you. But if you are already good, you are lost.
He would recite a list of actions that, according to him, were commended to heaven. He founded his assurance on the fact that he did not do the same actions done by the publican. In the eyes of the Pharisees, only the behavior counted, not the behavior. I was in New York City. I'm telling you, this is probably a third time I'm going to tell you that. I was in New York City. That's where I lived at that time, 2008 or 2009, something like that. On the Sabbath, I was dressed up, ready to go to church. And my door was knocked. When I opened, I saw a Jew. He was going to church. To what? Synagogue, thank you. And he told me, I have something I'm asking you to do. Because you Seventh-day Adventists, you can do certain things on Saturday. Us as Jews, we cannot do it. I said, what is it? Come and see. When I got to his house, it was a microwave. A microwave that was plugged in the wall. He said, I cannot unplug it. Would you mind unplugging it for me? I said, sure I will. Is it a sin to unplug a microwave on Saturday? They base their relationship with heaven on what? Behavior, appearances, hypocrites. Okay, all right. Education, culture, the exercise of the will, human efforts, all have their proper sphere. But here they are powerless. They may produce an outward correctness of behavior, but they cannot change a heart. They cannot purify the springs of life. There must be a power working from within, a new life from above, before men can be changed from sin to holiness. That power is Christ. His grace alone can quicken the lifeless faculties of the soul and attract it to God, to holiness. We almost come to a close now. Almost. Let me see. Yes. Morality emanates from righteousness. Morality does not produce righteousness. The true Christian will be a moral being. One may appear good, but he cannot be good without being good internally. When the heart is transformed, the moral outcome is a change of behavior. If we abide in Christ, if the love of God dwells in us, our feelings, our thoughts, our purposes, our actions will be in harmony with the will of God as expressed in the precept of his holy law. God invites us to accept the righteousness of Christ given freely to all those who go to God by him. Do not try to be saved on your own by your actions. If you do, you are sure you are lost. Nobody who has tried that has won victory. I've been trying my whole life to be a good Christian. Every time I fall, it's time for me to allow Christ to do his job in me. Otherwise, I'm lost, and I don't want to be lost. That's why I'm concerned about my eternal life. Don't say I'm a good Christian. You are not. Don't say that I'm a moral person. You are not. Don't say that don't recommend anybody or he's a good person. He's not. All our goodness comes from God, not from us. Brothers, sisters, this is the time to surrender, to give our lives to Christ to transform us, because we cannot do it on our own. And if we allow him to do it, I'm sure all of us will be in heaven with him. God bless you.